Yeah, so I first want to thank Gabriele for the title. So he called the infamous master equation during his talk. And all the rest of the organizers, I'm very happy to be here. What I want to talk about is these local master equations and the thermodynamics that we can do with them. The first things that I want to say is that these local master equations can be derived in this usual setup of thermodynamics when one starts with a system weakly coupled to heat bath. So the system will be described with the Redfield equation and then in some limits. So when internal energy interaction is weak, I will be more specific later. So when this is weak, the solution of the Redfield equation or the solution of the local master equation gives a good approximation for the Redfield equation. So this was studied long time ago in these articles where Jürgen is part of the group, and recently here it was Luis, here it was Marti and Geraldine, and there is also this little bit more recent article dealing with it this aspect. So what I want to do is different. I want to take the local master equation as an exact model, so not so considering them as in the beginning maybe toy models that describe exactly some physical process. So in this context, it was studied by the group of Prosen, Thomas Prosen, and Marco Snidarik. Right, so they take this, they consider this local master equation. So I will give an example in a minute, but so with a dissipator describing the effect of a left environment and a right environment, and they analyze the steady state. So T goes to infinity, rho goes to an equilibrium steady state, and for them it was very interesting because there are properties of this state that are shared with properties of classical systems that describe a non-equilibrium system that are also exactly soluble. So these solutions can be written as matrix produced state, and these have analogies with solutions for some exclusion processes, etc. So I want to give an example. Equation to be more concrete. So my example will be, I will use it a lot. So the system will be a spin chain. So there are n spins here. And here there is an environment at a given temperature. So this will be 1 over T. And the effect of this environment is described. So we have this, the rho will be gamma So this dissipator, what it does is to thermalize just the first spin. So so with this, if we take dT rho 1 for the first spin, and then here just the Hamiltonian associated to the first spin, neglecting the coupling to the rest, so this will be this plus this dissipator, then this rho 1 as time goes to infinity will go to minus eta some partition function, which is the exact Gibbs state, right? But this is true in this case, and we are considering that the equation contains here the full Hamiltonian, the Hamiltonian of the full chain, right? So in this case, so. T goes to infinity will be different of the Gibbs state, right? So so Lewis will say now here there is a problem with the zero law of thermodynamics, right? Okay, there is also a problem with the second law, and this was noticed in this article by Anikam Levy and Ronnie Koslow. So here, they question the second law. And the system they consider is like the analogous of this one if I take two spins, but with two oscillators. So there is a cold temperature, two oscillators.
Two spins is the same.
Yeah, two spins is the same. And what they found is that, so I will write it for oscillators because I have it here for oscillators. And this H cold And similarly for the comet. So here we have to change A to B and H to C. Okay, so there is a dissipator that if the oscillators are uncoupled, the cold bath will thermalize the oscillator to the, at the left. And also, if they are decoupled, the right oscillator will thermalize to the temperature of the hot bath. But in the if cold, T cold is smaller than omega hot, T hot, there will be a current from cold to hot, right? So this is a if this happened like that, I mean, without anybody doing something else, this is a violation of the second law of thermodynamics.
What is your current here? Is it like an internal or from the bath?
Yeah, it's from the bath. And here, so this G, which will be, let's say, G cold, will be trace HS will be called rho and will be equal to minus G hot. Okay, and this is in the steady state. Okay, so because there are these problems that they appear when one just look at the master equation. So the, we have the master equation and we are trying to figure it out, the thermodynamics. What I want to do is to find a microscopic model from where one can obtain this master equation. And in this microscopic model, to study the thermodynamics and then take the limit where the microscopic model gives me the master equation, right? So this is what I want to do. So here I want to do, so what I want to do. Model the equation and this microscopic model is called the repeated interaction or collisional model to so to give this thermodynamic description at the microscopic level, and here I follow the work of Massimiliano. Three. So three, I will write here what will be like the main conclusion of all what I want to do. That is, even if all quantities all the quantities that appear in the local master equation, the Hamiltonian, so are time independent. So the Hamiltonian is time independent, and all the Lindblad operators are time independent. Everything is time independent. There is a work associated to this equation. So, it's a work cost. So what I say is that there is a work cost for an agent which is the guy that is implementing these dynamics on the system. So this will be like the main conclusion.
So will your suggestion resolve the trouble with the series and the seconds law, or is that not what you're doing?
Sorry?
You mentioned problems with the zeroth and the second law,
yes.
So your approach is going to resolve that also, or?
Yes.
Okay. Because it's adding work.
Yeah. So because there will be work here, so I can go to this case. This will happen, but there will be work. So this is a refrigerator. Ah. I'm doing work, and then heat is going.
I think zeroth law is still the same conclusion right there.
And zero law, so I want to say something about the zero law. So I want to talk about the zero law. Perhaps.
And with box power.
And without equilibrium. Then map with equilibrium. So I will mention here some relation between this notion of that I will explain a map of with equilibrium and detailed balance. Then briefly, I will mention as a non-trivial example or an example of this system with detailed balance, the smallest refrigerator. Which is a paper by Lindman. Right. So they in this paper there appear a model for a 3-qubit refrigerator, and the nice thing of this model is that should work autonomously, so should call the system without anybody doing nothing, right? So What I say is that if we consider the model as an exact model, so we don't, we're not considering these approximations of small interaction, etc., then the refrigerator is not autonomous. Because there is an agent that should do something. So this I will. And then very briefly I will say something about fluctuations. Okay, so this is my plan. So I want to say that the points 1, 2, 3. So this is from these articles. Points 1, 2, 3. This is for seven. So this is a paper that will appear at some point in EPGST, but for the moment this on the archive. And so here it is, 5 and 6. So the relation to detail balance and the example. Right, and Cristóbal Lledó was a master's student, but now he's in London doing a PhD. Okay, so what is this, the microscopic model that will give me the local master equation? So I consider that there is a system. So my system will be this spin chain, but can be a spin, complicated spin network or oscillator networks. So I have a system described by a density matrix, a bath. I will have to. So I say a little bit more about the bus later. And we say that initially the full system bus is in this probe state, and then there is a unitary evolution that brings me to. To this new state for the full universe. Okay, so the system will be in this new state, which is I have to trace over the bath. The bath will be traced through the system. Okay. And what they will do is to iterate this for the system. So we pay attention now to what's happening to the system, which is this. And therefore, I will reiterate, so put here, so to obtain rho s 2 prime, replacing here rho s by rho s prime. So this will be the repeated interaction. So I will change a little bit the notation, and I will say that rho s is rho 0, so because it's vision time. And then the dynamics is rho 0 goes to rho 1, which is trace V. And then rho 1 goes to rho 2. And in general, plus 1 is this. So the bath is always in the state rho b. So we iterate for rho s, but rho b is always a new copy of the bath. So the way that this is, one can depict this is to say, okay, I have here the system, and there is a sequence of baths that will come in this state rho b. So they are all in the state rho b, and the system is interacting here with this one, that after the interaction will be in this rho b prime, but then it's gone, right?
Just comment here that this originally idea goes back to Schwinger. It's called a collision. In Schwinger's language, it's a collision knot.
Okay, yeah, so these are much older because I forgot to write the reference that I have here. So the one that I learned it from this Kanevsky. This is a TRL 2009. I know about this, which is but yeah, I guess that is much, much older than.
I think Schwinger is probably 1950 something.
It's too far. In the 25 years, probably you can find a paper with collision models.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so there are two ways of looking at this iterative dynamics. One is like that, with these many copies of the bath that after the interaction, I don't care about them. Or I can consider that I have one copy, it interacts, and then I have to refresh this copy and bring it back to rho b. Like, so that will be we have to consider there is another process that will change this rho b prime to rho b. Now, the u, so we have in mind that u represent the dynamics. Lots of time so where the system is coupled to the bus, so I will take h bar equal to 1 and this v so this v, while the system are coupled, I consider it as time independent, but in the full description, the coupling is time dependent because I have to connect the bus to the system and disconnect. Okay, I have to connect the bus to the system and disconnect. So this V, the one that appears here, is this value there, but as a function of time. This goes to 0 after. So there is a V of t. And because there is a time dependent coupling, there will be work. So this is where this work is coming from. OK, I will consider that this V satisfies this property, which is, as Marty said, is something that one can usually assume, because if it is different from zero, I can modify the Hamiltonian of my system to include it there. So this is something that one does usually. Okay, and then I will show how this goes to the Lindblad equation. So the Lindblad limit is to take V to scale the interaction. So this is again an operator, and here I put a square root of tau this time, and I will take n to infinity, tau to 0, and n tau a time t. Okay. So because I'm taking tau to 0, I will expand this unitary up to second order. So it will be identity e tau hs plus hv plus v small v root of tau minus tau square over 2 is hp v square root of tau square. And I need to put this on the left hand side, and then the dagger on the right hand side. And I want to collect, I will collect all terms that are order tau. So I will have that rho n plus 1 is, so the unitary, the identity at both sides will give me this term, and then when I trace, I get only rho n. So I will have rho n. Then I will have, so all this, so there is a tau here. So all this with the rho and the identity here, this contribute to order tau, and identity here, this guy, and this contribute to tau, right? So, and so this will give me a commutator, which is minus tau ah plus b. So this is not order tau, the one that has the square root, I put it there anyway. Pro N Pro B and here so trace. But because we are considering this property, this term here goes to zero. Okay, it's because it will be the trace of V with rho B. Yeah, and the other terms that are order tau are so here this is order square root of tau, so if it comes from the left and right it will give a tau. So this will be then, so what I will get is trace B V O M O B V. Right, so then I subtract this 1 plus 1 minus 1 tau goes to 0. I will get rho dot minus hs rho s. So the commutator of hb with rho b will disappear with a trace. Plus trace B. Yeah, and this term so now, okay, so because I want to go now to thermodynamics, I will take that this rho B is E minus beta some HB theta B, so I will call it like that. So I use that there, and this will give me minus beta epsilon pi. So here, H B has eigenvalue these epsilon that they are there, and the L I J J V I. Okay, so and so all this I will, one can write it, or this dissipator. So this zero is also. So R is an index from with ij with I smaller or equal than j, and so LR is LJ. This for me today. Okay, so this is the.
That is a form of V final, because I think you need a kind of rotating wave approximation in the structure of V to get rid, you know, of some. Of diagonal terms.
So, I mean, this holds for any V for the moment.
I doubt. Because what is the relation between L and V? What is the form of
L and V? Is here. So this is L and this is V.
So you claim that V is arbitrary?
Yes. So,
yeah, but this doesn't have to lead to detailed balance. You're asking too much.
Yeah, so for the moment, I will talk about detailed balance.
Okay, so at this moment, it's not.
Yeah, it's not. It has all the shape, right? But it's not yet.
Okay.
So, example. Again, my this spin chain. So this will be the system Hamiltonian, then the coupling B is something proportional to this. So this zero is not part of the system, it belongs to the bath. And the Hamiltonian of the bath, of the copy, is just a single spin in a magnetic field. Right, so this will give, if I compute the Lindblad operator, there.
Just before you erase it completely.
Yes.
You had this V over square root of tau there.
Yes.
The V you already erased. So I see that this all works out, but somehow the scaling is sort of strange. Usually when I have an interaction or something applied for a time t and I want to split that up, I would let the pieces be V divided by tau and not square root of tau. It seems to me like if you like the accumulated effect of all the summed V of tau. Understand what I mean? I mean, it's not. I'm not doubting your results.
Because he's keeping the V squared terms over here.
Yeah, I see that it mathematically works out a way.
So what Karevsky and Platini and so the there was so they worked with some mathematicians, Atal. And so what they say, the claim, is that any other scaling will be either trivial, so you have an isolated system, so only the Hamiltonian part, or the limit that the limit does not exist.
So it's a mathematical.
It's a central limit theorem somehow. You can have to scale only by the square root. Other scaling doesn't.
Now work. What I do in my computer is I don't have to show it here, but I compare just this iterative dynamics with tau equal 1, and I put the dot, and I then plot the solution of the Lindblad equation, and they go together.
Yeah, I believe all this. I just don't have any sort of, it sort of is against my physical feeling. That's all I want to say.
When you derive the master equation, the traditional master equation, at some point, when you do the cross-graining, you write the g squared tau, or g squared delta t, is some new rate gamma. And it's mathematically is equivalent to that step.
There would be another way. I could derive this from a Poisson model with weak collisions.
Yeah,
and so it would be through the central limit theorem, it would lead to weak collisions, so many weak collisions as Gaussian, and you would get the same scheme.
Yeah, so that derivation is in the article of Massimiliano in FISREV X. Yeah, so with this, so you see that the I have some spin chain.
Just one question.
And then the spin like that travels.
There's a question.
Yeah, just one more, sorry. This assumption that you take, you know, your individual unit of the bath to be one qubit, this is just something that is convenient, right? I could take, in this form, if I look at it now, I could take, for instance, another spin chain as HB.
Right.
And it's fine. I mean, it's more complicated than the operators, but it's still okay, right?
Still okay, yeah.
Okay.
So then in this case, there will be the Lindblad terms will just be the ones that couple the jump in the spin. So this will be some lambda and 1 minus. And all the rest are 0. So that will give me the Lindblad equation I wrote at the beginning. You know, I wrote a Lindblad equation as an example. Will be obtained like that. Okay, so the repeated interaction in this limit, tau goes to 0, scaling the interaction with square root of tau, and n goes to infinity, gives me Lindblad. And so what I want to do now is the...
Now that you say that n goes to infinity, the small n going to infinity, in which part did you require this?
Yeah, well, it's not so important, but if not, this will be always at the initial time, so you need a lot of iterations to advance in time. But if not, this would be whatever when it's finite will be zero time. It's something silly. Okay, so now, so this was the dynamics. Now the thermodynamics. So the thermodynamics, as I said, I follow Massimiliano New Journal of Physics, and I have, write again this, rho s. So now here I put a thermal state for the bath. Then rho s prime is trace this you remember, right? Rho s and similar for this one. And I consider that the system in this process changes its energy according to this. Okay, so this is the energy change in this process, rho dot goes to rho dot prime. The heat that flow from the bath to the system is given by minus the change in energy of the bath. So this will be with the signs like that. And to have this, the zero law, so the work is the trace of HS. The first law. Right, I add this and I get delta E. And this one can see that it is minus the trace of V. What do I have it? V rho dot prime plus the trace of V rho dot. So this is zero because we assume that the trace of V times the state of the bath is zero. And so the work is given by this term here that one can see that correspond to the moment when we switch off the interaction. Right? So this part here, if I consider that the work is the energy change of the total system, so rho dot P prime, and here take the derivative of the total Hamiltonian, then when I switch off, so there is this step, this will give that piece off, this part here. So the work is due to this switching off of the interaction. So these are for the heat work, and then the entropy change will be the von Neumann entropy change. So the entire S will be and one can show that this is which has two parts. One is some mutual information plus D. Okay, so this D is this relative entropy. And this will represent the entropy production if I have to thermalize the copy after the interaction, bring it again to a thermal state. But if I leave it, as I said, if I don't thermalize and I imagine that I have many copies of my bath and I let them go, this term, so one can say that only this term will be the entropy production, so this mutual information will be the entropy of rho S prime plus, so this is so this is S plus prime or B prime minus S or total prime. And because the von Neumann entropy is invariant under this unitary evolution, then I can write this as the von Neumann entropy change of the system plus the von Neumann entropy change of the bath. And each one of these is positive.
But the second term, you said it, you justified it being equal to zero.
No, so
I can't remember. What, like physically, I mean, usually this is just how the bath changes, but somehow you, in the derivation, you assume the bath is fixed, right? You're refreshing it, so.
No, I don't assume. I mean, the bath changed from this state.
Okay. And so the next one you're refreshing.
So if I refresh, if I use the same one, then I have to do it, so this will be part of the entropy production.
I see.
Do you know if from the so this rho b prime is not an equilibrium state?
Rho b prime is not an equilibrium state.
Could you extract work?
After, yes. I mean, after the interaction, I guess I can do some unitary process to bring it to the passive state, but.
That is important because then you could so if it's true. Then you could pay back some of this work that you injected.
Yes, part.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I have another question. So here you only look how you thermalize somehow, no?
No. So this is one step of this repeated process, right?
Yes.
So and I look, I take this as definitions of the thermodynamic quantities.
Yes.
This is
no, because I was just wondering, so these two terms that you get there, in a way, so let's say that you only interact epsilon, okay, so like...
Epsilon, you mean short time.
Yeah, like this delta t. In a way, because, so you can show that these two terms go as epsilon squared or as delta t squared.
So on this one, this will disappear.
I think both of them will disappear, so that's what was confusing me.
Because you start this will remain finite. The
I don't know, because you start with a product, okay? So when you create correlations, it's a second order effect somehow, because you are in a minimum of this function. So you are in a minimum of I, and then you are perturbing it delta t. So I would expect this will be delta t squared.
Yeah, so, well, I don't have the argument here completely in mind, but what I can tell you is that when I take the limit, so let me say now what I know for sure, and then so now if I take the limit and this tau to zero. Right? So this guy here divided by tau will be something that I will call dHs plus HB. So this will be and Q divided by tau, which will be Q dot, will be minus D HV. Now, to get this, it was enough with my second order expansion of the evolution operator. But to get this, if I stop at the second order, I get nothing. And the how you call this? The main contribution comes with, I have to do the expansion till the fourth order in the unitary. If not, I don't get this. But this is the finite quantity.
Okay.
And so this should be related to what happened here too.
Yeah, because I didn't realize that you're also making the interaction stronger, no, somehow. So you think
yeah,
this both
this.
Things. Okay, okay.
And I think maybe also that you don't have to start with the system and making real, I guess. Can you verify from making real?
Yes, but these two terms, you don't, yeah. They don't care about this, no? Your system is out of the, I mean, with respect to the bath and to the correlation you create, but not how the system is moved.
So what is this D, regular D is V A V minus square A or system D. So this omega, remember, was the Gibbs state. Right, so so this I did it with one bath, but if I have many baths...
Okay. Is it a good time to stop for a break now or not?
Maybe I can stop with the many baths and...
One.
So many baths, the dynamic will be out of prime u rho s. So many will be just two, omega beta left, omega beta right, and u will be system left right bath coupling with the left coupling with the right. So then everything will, if I do this, I repeat the derivation for the Lindblad dynamics, what I will get is dissipators associated to the bar, to the right and to the left they add, right? So, and then for the work, it will be a sum. So R are the different reservoirs, let's say. Like that, which is VR. So there will be an R here because the coupling will depend on the reservoir. And this will be theta R. So either left or right, and the same for the heat. So connecting and disconnecting these copies of the bath at the left-hand side or at the right-hand side will contribute to the work, and also they will give a heat flow. So the total energy change is this plus dot. This is positive. And so if I consider now the this system, which is the XX chain of H that C one C. So the analogous with the spin to the problem of Amican and Ronnie. So this now the Hamiltonian for the left bus are just copies of spins. This Hamiltonian and the coupling of the these two spins with the copy of the bus is sigma x, sigma x, the left bus, the first side. For the right, so the same magnetic field that in the chain. Okay, so then we plot here. So I will plot here. So all this is in the steady state. So there are beta left smaller, let's say smaller than beta right. And here I put as a parameter the magnetic field of the first spin. So I will draw here. So this curve here is the rate of entropy production. Then there is yellow curve, which is the power, and then so they cross here, and here this is more schematic, will be the heat flowing from the right, and the heat flowing from the left. So there is another point there, which is when HL is equal to HR, where the work or the power vanishes. And then one can see here that how this works as an engine. For instance, in this regime, work is negative. So we're extracting work from the flow of the hot to the cold. And here, in this regime, one can see that this corresponds to the refrigerator, where we do some work, and heat goes from the cold to the hot. Right? Okay, so maybe we can stop here.
Con work input, y entonces resulta que lo que ellos dicen es literalmente verdad. O sea, que en realidad es un refrigerador que la cooling rate y la coefficient of performance.
Sí.
teóricas, a mí siempre me ha interesado el eliminar el modelo virtual, el sistema autónomo, que no funciona, porque hay clics, hay un montón de efectos espurios, no quieres tener. Lo que está diciendo de una manera es que introduciendo, modificando un modelo de introducción de trabajo, está eliminando los clics, está haciendo una máquina que es irreversible, la está convirtiendo en endorreversible.
Y está aumentando
la máxima coeficiente performance. Y una de las cosas que bueno, en los últimos años he estado pensando es cómo eliminar heat leaks y internal dissipation. Yo siempre lo miro desde un punto de vista pasivo, es decir, que no es una densidad espectral para el acoplamiento con cualquiera de los baños, digamos, no sé, work o lo que sea. Y yo qué sé, en vez de tener una densidad espectral cósmica, tal, pues, bueno, vamos a intentar tener una cosa estructurada en la que. De alguna manera me cargo, hacer que no quieran. Y esto es otra manera, ¿no? O sea, de alguna manera, metiendo trabajo, estás haciendo reservado engineering.
Claro. O sea, esto es lo clave. Yo lo veo así, digamos, esto es como una cosa que necesita un agente que pueda estar haciendo estas cosas.
Súper interesado entender cómo un picture como esto, de los kinetic interactions con work, se puede entender desde el punto de vista de un sistema muy sencillo, tú le ves el sistema, lo que sea con driving, acoplado con bike. ¿Qué tipo de driving complicado tendrías que hacer para que? ¿O qué tipo de densidad espectral?
A las copias, tú dices. O...
Sí, o sea, entender eso en forma de collision, entenderlo como un periódico, o no periódico, sino un driven system acoplado a un baño. Y que eso, o sea, ¿cuál sería la densidad espectral de ese baño? ¿Y cuál sería el driving que tengo que hacer?
Porque llegar algo así.
Como... Llegar algo así, una receta que te quita lo que
explica. You are born. Really born.
No, I will tell you, I'm outraged. Because Massimiliano Esposito took a Redfield equation and showed how in the high bias limit with fermions you get a local master equation. So I was before all the others that you cited.
You can take up in the second
half. I know that paper.
You even know the paper.
I didn't realize that was earlier, you know, for me.
So I'm sorry. I was like, do I say it or not? I said, okay, I will not say it.
Yeah, I will do, I will say it. As usual.
No, but I think it's really good that you go systematically through the steps so that everybody understands.
Yeah, because if not, sounds a little bit magical.
Okay, I suggest you continue.
Okay. All right, so maybe I can summarize the main point. So the point is that you have this problem with the zeroth and the second law. If you have this two local master equations. Right, or just the local master. Right?
Just the local master equation.
And then you showed that if you did this reset procedure where you looked at the reduced state and then you kept refreshing the bath every time, you could make those equations work properly, provided you added work to the coupling and the decoupling.
Yeah, you have to do it.
And then this works as this refrigerator mode issue.
Yes. This dissipative process described by the local master equation is kind of engineered. You need somebody outside that is making this time dependence, coupling, decoupling, right? Yeah, so, well, I forgot in my literature list a paper of Massimiliano that is earlier than the ones that I wrote, so and I knew that paper. I mean, so
terrible mistake.
Yeah. Okay, so I was showing this picture where we have this XX model. So there are two spins there interacting with this bath that we connect and disconnect, that they have different temperatures. So there is this special point, which is, from the thermodynamic point of view, would represent an equilibrium state, because there is no work, no heat, no entropy production. And in this case, this point is when HL is equal to H right times beta right over beta left. And so this corresponds to an equilibrium. And there is this other point here, which is a little bit special, because the work in the steady state is zero. You just have heat current from left to right, but the agent that is doing this connecting, disconnecting, it has to do it, but when he does it, he doesn't pay any energy.
Doesn't correspond to a stall condition?
To?
A stall condition.
Stall?
You have a motor, and you apply negative force to it, and then you stall the motor, so the motor cannot move because you are applying a negative force on it.
Is the point a maximum efficiency?
No. It's zero work.
Yeah. So zero power.
Zero power. It's just heat is flowing. This is what I will say. So, yeah. Well, but I'm getting ahead. So it's a special point that I want to, that will appear later.
Sorry, before you go on, I mean, do you know off the top of your head what the efficiency now looks like in this case, like in terms of HL?
So the efficiency. So here, so it will depend on the line I am. Mm-hmm. So when you are going there, you reach equilibrium, but I think that there you are Carnot. I don't remember where. But Gabriel will talk about more the efficiency in this problem. So
just so we're clear, is the line the Carnot efficiency or not? The point.
At this point?
Yeah,
because you are being close in equilibrium, so everything is quasi-static.
So the answer is yes.
This is Carnot. Yes. The point that connects a refrigerator is an engine that's always coming.
Good.
Okay. So this was this XX chain. So this is the Hamiltonian. And we had here two baths, the left and the right, right? But then now I want to say something about the zero law. So I will now have just only one bath. So one bath. And the zero law.
But you have it also there, right? If you're at that point, you have the Gibbs state is the steady state.
Yeah, but it's not the Gibbs state. So it is kind of, there is an equilibrium. So there is from the point of view of thermodynamics, I understand the zero law as the statement for the process, there is an equilibrium state, right? So there is. But let me, do the following plot. So now I will put the same quantities that I have there, but as a function of time. Right? So what I will have for the XX model that I have there, only one bath, sorry. So let me, no, so I will write it here again. So HS is this. I will put the same same magnetic field, and then sigma 1, 1, 2, y, right? And I start from an arbitrary initial condition. Then I will have that the work, the So Q dot, there is only one bath, so only one Q dot. And the rate of entropy production, they all go to zero. So dT rho minus E H XX rho plus just the dissipator on the left, the one that has the sigma 1 plus and sigma 1 minus, these are the Lindblad operator. This equation will bring rho to a steady state, which is an equilibrium state from the point of view of thermodynamics, because all these rates go to zero. And if I solve for the steady state in this simple case, the steady state will be E minus beta, not the Gibbs, H0. So it's not HS, it's just this term here. So with H0, equal H sigma 2C.
Now this is the ordinary Lindblad dissipator, right?
No.
So it's not this, the one with the sequence you introduced before.
Ah, yeah, it's the ordinary Lindblad, but it's not the one that you obtain in the weak coupling limit. It's not the usual one, because the usual one will here have the Lindblad operators induce jumps between eigenstates of this Hamiltonian. And this Lindblad operator here induces jumps only on the eigenstates of the first of the first spin alone.
Okay.
And this is exact result. This is
an exact result.
Just a comment as well. I mean, in this boundary-driven spin chains that many of us solve in many-body physics, this is precisely the property which allows us to simulate the steady state, because it's always very close to a product state. Even in the presence of two baths, right, you only have a correction to the product state, so that allows you to simulate it with MPOs or whatever.
So this is, I see this as a very special property.
Yeah.
So, okay, so what I'm saying here is that in this case, there is a zero law. So zero law is okay. From the point of view of thermodynamics, the currents go to zero, and the state looks like the one we studied in statistical mechanics. But now, if I change, so I keep the same dissipator, right? The same, the coupling between the chain and this reservoirs that is modeled by this dissipator is the same, so this is the same, but now I take the XY Hamiltonian so rho will go to a rho ness. So if I plot here again the work, the heat will be the opposite. I mean the opposite at least in the steady state, because they have to sum Q dot plus E zero in the steady state, and the entropy production is positive. So this dynamics does not converge to a equilibrium state. So this is a non-equilibrium state, and the operator here now is, when he's doing this refreshment or changing the spins, he has to pay work. He has to use the work that is he has available. While in this case, he can do this without using work.
What happens if the two Hamiltonians are not the same, which HL and H right are not the same here.
In this case, yeah, then you are again in the same situation, yeah. Right?
You have to, so it's one special point.
Yeah, so why? So what is the property there?
Okay, see the property.
You see the property?
So,
yeah, they commute. So they come, and so I'm looking last year in there. So this is, I want to talk about Max Weib. So I come back to the description of just one iteration. Right, so I'm coming back to this. So many people have studied what they call thermal maps. So this is more of the community of Marti, where they consider that U commutes with HS plus HV. So if you have this, you see immediately that if rho S is Gibbs, then rho dot prime is the same initial state. Nothing happens. Mm-hmm. So the Gibbs state will be obviously an equilibrium state for the process that I do this, because I'm iterating from the Gibbs state and nothing happens, so I am here where entropy production will be zero, work will be zero, everything will be zero. So I will generalize just a little this relation, and I will say that so a small generalization. If H0 exists, so this is a system operator. Exists such that H0 plus HV equal to zero, and probably this H0 has to be a full rank operator, so there are mathematical details here, I guess. Then the map opens those two or time. So this is a definition that I'm saying that it's a map with equilibrium. So this is a definition. Right?
But not necessarily thermal equilibrium.
I will say thermodynamic equilibrium, in the sense that you will have all the quantities in this steady state which are zero.
And the thermal form for the schedule
will be, yeah. So you see that if I plot here e to the minus beta H0, because of the same argument, it will stay invariant.
Well, you can have a state that is diagonal in H0. and still fulfill this.
Yes.
So it's not. It's okay. It's an equilibrium in inverted commas.
Yeah, there will be some.
No.
Just a reverse state.
Yeah.
But you need.
It would be very highly energetic. It would be very active state.
No, I think you're missing here. H0 has to commute with HS.
Yeah. So this will come from here. So from here. So if you. So this will be. This is what we found.
It has to. Otherwise, you're right, because then things will change.
But in this, where is the HS? Actually, I don't see.
Here, HS plus HV plus V. So if this U is of this form, like this time independent, so all this is time independent, then to fulfill this, the only. I don't have a theorem, right? But the reasonable ways to achieve this is by saying, so this is an equivalent, which is not a theorem, is HS commutes with H0, and this V commutes with H0 plus HV.
You need the first one.
Mm-hmm. So the first one will be consequence of the of this one. Yeah, so if not, if you don't find an H0 that satisfies this, then I call this a map without equilibrium. And we will be in this situation, that you reach a steady state, that you have to sustain it by doing work, external work. Okay, some properties that I find interesting is that if we have U H0 plus HV equals 0, then so U H0 minus H0 U is equal to HV U minus U HV. And from here, I get that U dagger HV U is H0 minus U dagger H0 U plus HV. So this is an identity which is interesting because the heat, which is HV volume prime minus trace HV, no, sorry, rho B, and here rho B prime. So this was trace over B, but I can say, okay, it's the trace over the total system. Here is total. This is total. And this is trace of U dagger HV U rho total. So I will replace this by this. The HV rho total will vanish, and therefore the Q, the heat, is now a system dependent quantity. So the work will be also system dependent quantity. And the entropy production in this process that goes from rho total to rho total prime will be this relative entropy rho s omega beta 0 minus d rho s prime omega beta 0, where this omega beta 0 is this equilibrium state. So this is very similar to what happens with thermal maps, right? For thermal maps, this is known with H0 equal HS. The work will be zero, and the heat will be the change in the energy of the system. So we want to recover what is expected.
Sorry, I'm just a bit confused about H0 and HS. Can you...
H0 is just this part of the... So for the model, so for the... So we have that HS is H0 plus HI. This is the interacting part, and this is the non-interacting part. So in the examples, this will be sigma plus I, and this will be the cappings.
So if the interaction was the best commute with H0, that means that it conserves energy, right? And then the coupling and decoupling doesn't cost you?
No, it does cost you. You have some work here. But this work, this work will be, it's nice, this process, because you go to an equilibrium state, but you are not relaxing. You have to pay some work to bring it to equilibrium state.
Why does that cost you if that commutes? That's what I don't understand.
I can give
it. At the steady state is zero, this work.
At the steady state is zero, At the steady state is zero. So I can give you an intuitive idea why it costs you. Because.
But sorry, the steady state in with just one reservoir is. Basically, the equilibrium state, or
only if there is this.
With that property. Yes, yes. With, of course, yes.
So, okay. So
with
what
that property, steady in this case means equilibrium.
With the property, steady means equilibrium.
Equilibrium in this example.
Yeah, and if not, so if you don't have this H0 that fulfill this, then it's a non-equilibrium steady state.
But it's still a funny equilibrium state, right? Because it's only equilibrating without the interaction part of the Hamiltonian.
Yes.
So this is not what a real bath does.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but what a real, I mean, it is a passive coupling between, but from the thermodynamics point of view, all that you need to call something equilibrium.
No, it's a thermal equilibrium state for sure. I'm just saying that
it saves the bath that erases HI.
Yeah.
It dissipates HI. So this is the price you pay to dissipate.
Yeah, so this is the intuitive picture is that you have, so initially you have here HS which commute with H0 and therefore also commute with HI, right? And so let's say two spins. So you have some energy in the magnetization part, some energy stored there with the initial state, and some energy stored there. So what I mean is that I have an average at the initial state, which is something finite. And also, something finite for this. Right? Then you have the copy. This is the copy. And this is the coupling between the system and the copy. Yeah. And this new system, when it's almost described by extending this to a third one, like the same Hamiltonian, etc. But because now you consider this product state, omega beta rho zero, it's like when the copy arrives, it arrives without contributing to the coupling energy, but arrives and contributes to the magnetization energy. And then this interaction energy that was only stored here spread, and when it spread, you disconnect, so you have to pay for this energy. And the spreading process is conservative because you have this. I mean, you don't get mix H0 with HI, but anyway, you have to pay that to disconnect. Okay, yeah, so. So in the Lindblad limit, you may remember that Q dot was minus dHv and W dot was dHs plus Hb with d was dA. The trace of VAV minus V square A rho S omega beta HP. Now, if I take that HS with H0 is zero, so one, well, property one and property two, I can work with this expression, so do some algebra, and show that this is trace H0, the dissipator over rho s, and this one is trace Hs minus H0 dissipator rho s, so which is what one would have expected from this. Okay, so now coming back to detailed balance, that if I have 1 and 2, with 1 and 2, so 1 plus 2, plus the v square root of tau, tau goes to zero, so the Lindblad limit then the Lindblad equation fulfill is with 2L, so satisfies the little balance theorem. This is this. So what this means is that the Lindblad operators are satisfied with respect to minus beta H0. Mm-hmm. So the Lindblad equation, which is dt rho minus hs rho plus a dissipator, the Lindblad operators that appear there are eigen operators of H0. So 1 minus beta log of this omega, I can win. And H0 commutes with Hs. So these omegas here are the ones that relate the L with the L dagger. So in the dissipator, we have a sum of two terms, L, rho, L dagger, and the other is L dagger, rho, L. And these ratios appear here. And one can show that that also this form of the Lindblad equation implies that if one calls this the LA antisymmetrics and LS, LA omega beta H0 is 0, and LS an operator A omega beta H0 is equal to the adjoint omega beta H0, which is something that one can take as a definition of the detailed balance property.
Sorry, just a question. I mean, suppose I wanted to construct some dynamics which led me to canonical equilibrium with Hs.
With H? With this?
With the Hamiltonian, with the actual Hamiltonian, what do I have to do? I mean,
you have to do the weak up.
Yeah, okay, so there's no way around that, right?
I don't know. I mean, this is the...
Is there? There is a way.
Because, I mean...
You do the collisions, you do the repeated collisions, where the interaction of the qubits mm-hmm. is with each transition of your global system.
Okay, and then you get...
Everything that is Lindblad, you can do with collisional models.
So you can get the standard.
You have to diagnose the Hamiltonian.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, yeah.
My problem. It's his problem.
No. I'm just wondering. I mean, because of course, you know, somehow you dump something to heat pad, you expect it to thermalize at the temperature.
Something. I think there's something that you see. This. You broke this Lindblad into two Hamiltonian parts and dissipative part. That this breaking apart is not unique.
Okay.
So you can move this. You can change the Lindblad to change SHS.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And maybe get something, maybe you can bring that to BH0 there. I don't know. You have to. I just know this isn't. Since this is not unique, what it means you can move parts of this HS and put it into the L and the opposite. So you can play a little bit with that. Mm-hmm. And then maybe you can get a limit directly at H0, which tells you something that we discuss. It if you just somebody gives you a master equation by itself without the derivation,
Yeah, but so this is what I think is interesting of this example, that if you have a master equation that you can check this, so it doesn't term, it's very specific, but you just have the Lindblad. But you can check that has this detailed balance property, right? So you know, then I will say that these are the thermodynamic quantities for this particular case, without knowing the bath, but being sure that the Lindblad satisfies is a small generalization, but it's a little bit generalization of the standard local Dirac balance, because local Dirac balance usually is with Gibbs. This is a bit different than Gibbs, but you have that the thermodynamics is less trivial. You have to do some work to relax the system, and etc. And it's the only... So this I was saving it to the end, but I will say it now. Some people have asked me if I can tell them what is the work if you just have the Lindblad. And so I say, no, I cannot. But I will bet that any, so this is a wild bet, that any derivation that gives you, so repeated interaction, whatever other scheme you obtain, that you use to obtain this a Lindblad equation that has this form, you will have to pay some work in the process. So this is my bet.
Would a time-independent Hamiltonian on the system?
Yeah, like, yes. It's a time-independent Lindblad equation. Mm-hmm. It equilibrates to this funny state. I will say that whatever you do, you will have to... if this is the exact process that is happening, it happens because somebody's doing work.
Well, that's a bit trivial, right? Because it's like saying it's of Gibbs, so there must be work that has been put somewhere. Is it not the equivalent?
But it's not, but but what I'm telling you is the exact amount of work. Maybe you can say, okay, I will do it.
That's a stronger statement.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying I'm doing a strong bet here.
Wait, but maybe there is another process that has a different amount of work, no?
How can you?
Yeah, well, this is, I mean, this will be the safest bet, right? There is a you have to pay some work. Now I'm saying is that you, if your process exactly reproduces this, I will bet that. So because I want to say something that you remember, this is the exact work that you do.
And might be remembered for making a wrong.
Yeah, well, you know, they say here, they say that any publicity is good publicity. Okay, this I can generalize and what happened with many baths? I want to be very short here. So now I have OS, omega beta left, H left, omega beta right, H right, and I do a unitary HS, H right, H left, V right, V left. Then I would say that if H0 exists such that you are H0 plus HR is equal to 0 with UR. So you see, it's like an evolution operator. So there are many baths that is not related to the dynamics. This is the one related to dynamics, but it's the one that you would have if you have only the bath R connected to the system. And if this bath will have this property, so the system will thermalize with that bath, then we have the local detail balance. Then we have local detail balance, so this will be a definition of what is local detail balance. And so this has to come by some paper of Massimiliano. Which one? At least the PRE, this notion of local detail balance instead of detail balance.
PRE 2012.
Okay, and in that case, if we have just this, we thermalize with this temperature, but to A minus beta L H0. And if we have this, we would have beta right H0. So we thermalize to the corresponding bath. Then
the free Hamiltonian.
Yeah, with the H0. This becomes general. So then Q will be here a sum over R, these dissipators associated just to the coupling R. And this will be the sum here. And this will be R, HR. And then will be the sum over R. And in the steady state, so now we have a steady state because we have two baths, right? And there can be also this work, but we will see that in the steady state where HS is equal to sum of mass, then I can replace this by the trace of I H0, the commutator of HS with Ronez. And this is zero, so this will be the total heat. This is zero because HS commute with H0. And the same here, A trace HS minus H0, commutator HS from S. This will be zero. So this is the special point in the plot that I erase, where you have the work here, H left, and there was H right, and the work was zero, is because when H left is equal to H right, we had this commutation between H left equal H right. We have H0 commuting with HS. And therefore, we have this equilibrium that allow us to replace this Roman D with this calligraphic D. And then in the steady state, you have this. So in this steady state, you have that. So E dot is zero, but it's just the sum of heat currents, the number of reservoirs. And the work is zero. So this is a very special condition, right? So very special system, but it is fulfilled for the smallest refrigerator. So I just want to say, I guess that you are more tired than, but in the smallest refrigerator, smallest. So this is the important part, autonomous refrigerator. You have H0 plus HI as the Hamiltonian of the 3 qubits. It interacts here. So with H0. So I'm taking here that this G is arbitrary, doesn't need to be small. So here in the model, they consider E2 equal E1 plus E3. And because of this relation, H0 commutes with HI. So we are in the good situation, but we need, so this is property 1, we need property 2, which is related to the coupling. So in the smallest refrigerator, the Lindblad equation, it's written in this form. So this is the paper of Linden. Trace rho S. Okay, which is not obviously in Lindblad form, but it can be written in a complicated Lindblad form. So E is the index of the bath, so there are three baths. And here there will be four Lindblad operators, so some parameters, EK, so because we can get expressions for these Lindblad parameters, I can obtain a repeated interaction that gives me this Lindblad, right? So I get, So from here, I can deduce some couplings, this V. So it will be...
Well, you call it an autonomous refrigerator now. I thought your point was that it's not autonomous.
Well, they call them. They call them.
Call it. Okay, but it's not. You're showing us that it's not autonomous, right?
Yeah. It's a little bit. So I will find some B. But I will find some B such that this. The V's that I found from this satisfy the property 2. Right? So there is an H0. I mean, this is the H0 when this is there. The system, I have to do some work to bring it to the steady state, this work here. But when it is in the steady state, I don't do more work. So then the question is if it is autonomous or not. So I don't do work, but I have to, if I consider that this is the microscopic model to have the refrigerator, there is somebody that needs to be refreshing the qubits that are right here. In fact, this is complicated. There are like two streams of different qubits to get this Lindblad equation with four. So all of them commute. So I have to do this replacement, but without work cost.
Okay. But the Hamiltonian of the bath plus system has a time dependence, right?
Yes. I mean, to do this refresh.
So that's not an easy calculation with the global mass equation.
Lewis. It's
still autonomous.
No.
Also here, this is very special because you have to have the resonance condition. If you break the resonance condition, this won't be autonomous anymore.
Okay, so...
So what it means, you can reconstruct a special plane.
I would have thought autonomous was something that you could just... It works independently of anybody else coming in and having to do a refresh or...
Okay, so global master equation will do that. You just connect non-linearly three qubits and put it together. Maybe it won't be the best refrigerator,
but it will do the job.
The optimum one from point of power would be in resonance.
I see. Yeah. And second point is, like, maybe we discussed a bit last week, is white tree. White tree. I mean, I can make... Why do you need three?
White tree...
Qubits. You could make a refrigerator with one. I mean, quantum dot refrigerator. I mean.
Yeah, so this is... What you said, no?
Yeah, but that's another debate.
Yeah, well, so I'm finished.
Lot, right? It was two qubits.
The only thing that I wanted to add is that to this, if I am in this steady state, or in this equilibrium state, and I do, or let me say it otherwise. If I am in the Gibbs state, when this is the system Hamiltonian, and if I do two-point measurement to study fluctuations of work, I will have that there is no fluctuation. So the distribution of work is a Dirac delta. And the same for the entropy production in the equilibrium. Now, if I have this equilibrium and I do the two-point measurement, there will be fluctuations in the work with average zero because I am in the equilibrium, but there will be no fluctuations in the entropy production. So, yeah, this is my final comment. Thank you. Sorry.
So I was a bit surprised by this last result. So you say that even if you are not really in equilibrium, you don't need work to keep it there?
It is equilibrium, but it's not the, this. I say that for these processes, this is the equilibrium.
Okay.
So it's like it's not what I mean. We are used that in nature. It is always possible to have an equilibrium state. So the Lindblads will, but here, because they are kind of engineered, you can engineer something that you will never stop doing work, so the system will not reach equilibrium. But you can do it otherwise, so changing the Hamiltonian, etc., and bring the system to this state that will have the properties of thermodynamic equilibrium because the rates of power, heat flow, entropy production rates are zero, and we call this equilibrium.
But your operational definition of equilibrium remains zero entropy production.
Zero entropy production.
As it should. So in this other point, it's like you're not doing work, but you're putting in contact the two thermal bath, right? And you're purely dissipate. You're allowing heat leaks between one set of units and the other set of units.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So this one
in this plot this where you have the other, second.
Yeah. Then there was just heat current.
Yeah. And that's not an equilibrium state.
It's not an equilibrium.
So in this example of the XX model, if I remember correctly from their work, you had regimes of refrigeration, points where it works as a refrigerator, points where it works as a heat engine, and so on, right? In your paper.
Say it again, sorry.
You had like examples of situations where the XX model works as a refrigerator works. So I mean, you can do an XX model with two qubits.
Yes.
So again, why is the smallest autonomous refrigerator 3 qubits?
Ah.
So it's not autonomous and it's not the smallest.
No, so with 2 qubits, I guess that I cannot have, I don't know, if I can have this situation where it operates without working the steady state.
Okay.
So this is, in the steady state is doing what they say they do and without work. But to arrive to this steady state, you need to do work.
That's okay. I have a comment. Now imagine that this will not be the exact master equation, but just as you said at the beginning, the approximation.
Ah, yeah. Then all this is negligible.
Then would you agree is autonomous or not?
Well, I agree that the one that Luis studied is autonomous.
No, that's okay. But in this paper that we quoted before, when you have this degeneracy, I don't think it's a good idea to use the global approach.
Ah, okay.
So I think it should be something closer to this. Well, that's a bit what Stella was explaining the other day.
Yes.
So what they do is they have this coarse grain master equation, and they show that it's closer to the local one when this G is small, when this interaction is small. This equation is naturally closer to the local one. It's not really the local one, it looks like it somehow.
Yeah, but so if if it is really autonomous, my claim will be that it does not follow exactly this. It has to deviate from this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but probably the corrections will be of higher order than you can neglect. It has a...
Okay, I think we have...